The kinds of problems Zimbabwe has there in southern Africa are repeated in West Africa, in Guinea. That country is now under curfew and has ground to a virtual stop. Soldiers patrol the streets of the capital, Conakry, and that's where NPR's Ophebia Quist-Arkton filed this report.
As the curfew hour approaches, young soccer players are out in force, enthusiastically kicking balls about the potholed streets of Guinea's dilapidated seaside capital. There's precious little else for these youngsters to do here in Conakry, where schools, shops, offices, businesses, and many markets remain closed. Meanwhile, the grown-ups are wondering why they are so desperately poor in a potentially rich country with mineral resources galore. And commentators like Suleiman Diallo are assessing why Guinea has reached a turbulent crossroads now.
People are fed up. Last year, Guineans were fighting for a bag of rice. Now they are fighting for a plate of rice. Now, poverty is growing very fast. Corruption is at the highest. Corruption. So it could only explode.
Guinea was paralyzed for 18 days last month during a crippling union-led strike seeking better pay and reforms. Waves of anti-government demonstrations and riots followed. By mid-February, the number of mostly civilians killed was estimated at well over 100 in clashes with the security forces. There's a bitter edge to her voice as Mariama Barry tends her 19-year-old son lying in a hospital bed. Alpha Pate Barry was shot and wounded during the recent unrest in Conakry. Like many of the young protesters, his mother said, fuming, that her son was demonstrating peacefully, carrying a banner and shouting, "Change, long live change." And he was demanding that Guinea's ailing and aging leader, President Lansana Conte, in power for the past 23 years, must go.
In the past, soldiers never opened fire on innocent civilians, as if they were mere animals. What we have lived through under our current president is simply unbearable.
Historian Jibril Tamsir Nyan said after hasty independence from France in 1958, Guineans grew used to a culture of slavish obedience and silence, never speaking out and rarely challenging their leaders. Now, says Nyan, Guineans have learned to say no to military repression, corruption, and bad governance.
C'est le début, c'est le commencement d'un grand changement, un changement qui va être profond.
Guineans never knew how to make demands on their leaders or how to say no. All that changed when they took to the streets in protest in January. I believe it was a turning point for Guinea. With massive popular support, the strike by the unions became a catalyst and a metaphor for a new Guinea.
But the political impasse continues in Guinea. The unions are making increasingly political demands of President Conte. He, meanwhile, insists they must call off their strike.
Complete deadlock.
So says political commentator Suleiman Diallo.
So you see, the unions can't go backward. They are compelled to go forward. They have no choice.
Young Guineans like 22-year-old Aliou Talibé Diallo, one of the young demonstrators, just want change now. The young man says the only solution is for President Conte, a retired army general, to step down. But there's always the military factor to consider in Guinea. With sweeping powers of search and arrest under martial law, the security forces were reported to have been terrorizing civilians with allegations of rape and mass detentions. But, says Suleiman Diallo, Guinea is ready to take on both the army and the president.
I guess he will not have enough bullets to kill every Guinean. And the Guineans are determined to have what they want. Many people are asking for him to go.
Meanwhile, Guineans are holding their collective breath to see whether change comes peacefully or by force. Ophebia Quist-Arkton, NPR News, Conakry.